December 1st, 1983. Jan Law, interviewed by Kay Briegel, in his office in Long Beach.
Am I back on sound?
Yes.
Well, these publications of the Geologic Survey, the Department of Interior, they are eminently authoritative, and again, the local groundwater, the local geology, which is important. One of the unique features of Wilmington subsidence is that the overburden had no ability to support itself. It sat like a wet pancake on the contents of the reservoir. And this shallow geology goes into the fact that the sands, as we say, were not indurated. You would say not hardened. They're friable. Friable, I don't know the genesis, the, what is it?
Etymology.
The etymology?
The epistemology, if you read farther back.
Okay. Where friable comes from, but it's very soft and crumbly, and when it finally goes as far, it gets sucroidal, being just the same physical characteristics and flow characteristics of sugar, granulated sugar. So the weakness of the overburden was a salient contributor to subsidence, because we have thousands, tens of thousands of oil fields throughout the world, and the occurrence of subsidence is quite unique, maybe three or four throughout the whole world, of significant destructive. I spoke earlier that in the case of elevations, which we must live with, that one, if one is a student, should be aware of tidal datum planes, what they're called, what is this tidal 8 mean sea level, as determined after 21 years of faithful, stable operation, that it truly is a stable point. What it is, they live in fear of putting a tidal plane on marshy ground, or grounds, peak ground, all the things that consolidate, and having sea level go completely awry because their tide gauge sank relative to a truth. So it's only, that's why they go. Well, here is if one wishes to know why we knew as well as we did. The very fact that the tidal plain to Wilmington was so close that Inglewood is still the only base was Tidal 8. But to get to, from San Pedro, Outer Harbor, to the Inglewood oil field took a traverse with these men with chains and levels that your uncertainty and your potential error grows as you get a greater distance. We saw that not too long ago where I guess the scientists and the surveyors have a big bulge at Palmdale that made the newspapers and magazines as a potential warning, and now that bulge is clear gone, and they say it never existed. It was just purely a function of the uncertainties that would accumulate in the leveling process. You just can't travel that many miles. Well, what among other things fortunate can you be to have the Southern California tide gauge right at your back door, so that when you jumped out and came up and crossed the channel, you were into subsidence, and the uncertainty because of the distance. Every time you got talking seriously on subsidence at Baldwin Hills, measured against sea level. Well, here was sea level bopping up and down because each traverse, they couldn't make a traverse and get the same answer twice if they did it. If they got, one week they got up there, or it took them 3 weeks to get there and come back with their traverse, then they did it again in 3 weeks, they'd get a different answer. So, Los Angeles Regional Water Quality Control. Water Quality Control Plan for Harbors, Marina, Tidal Prisons in Los Angeles and Ventura County. Its relevancy is kind of pretty distant. I don't know whether it's absent. The effect of sampling interval upon mean porosity and permeability. This, I was a member of the American Petroleum Institute Pacific Coast District Subcommittee, and this is published in the transactions of the American Petroleum Institute that said, if you have 100 feet of core and you pick out 5 samples, you'll get an expression of the mean porosity. If you pick out 10 samples, you'll get a different measure of the mean. It'll be refined, more exact. If you take out 20 samples, you'll get. And said another way, you take a sample of 5 and another sample of 5, they will not agree. Spread out through the same. You take a sample of 10, spread throughout the section, sample of 10, spread. They average porosity will not agree. So we were looking for, as a committee within the American Petroleum Institute, for what is the proper number of cores to take. I might say that since that time, there is really very little coring. Hardly anybody cores. Everybody relies exclusively on electric log interpretation. So you can say that this is it refers to a lost art, 1946, that it isn't relevant today because nobody cores. The only way it'd be relevant would be if you wish to study core analysis and look at the uncertainty. I submitted my paper on the limits on the determination of subsidence arrestment within the harbor area, authorized by Sam Roberts, for the new head of Caltech. Soil technology, soil mechanics, in which he echoed the other people, particularly at Caltech, who read the report and said that it was, well, they didn't say it was trifling, but they said it really had very little to offer. I've been out of town for most of the past month. I'm quoting now Ronald F. Scott, head of the Soil Mechanics Department, Caltech, written 1970. I've been out of town for most of the past month and apologize for today and reading your assessment of subsidence arrest at Long Beach. I've now examined it rather quickly, I'm afraid, and have a few comments. At the risk of offending you, I must be blunt. You ready? If remarking that there are numbers of defects in it, at least from my limited point of view, If I may sum up what you have done, you have taken a number of settlement observations and fitted each set of the data to a particular date with an analytical curve. Then you plot the points that occur after that date and find, in effect, that they do not fit your analytical function within the error limits, which gave rise to the original fit shapes after the selected data. It takes you a lot of pages in your reports to say this, and if you were to submit it for publication, I think you should do a lot of trimming. Well, here I used, since subsidence was slowing, and people had a legitimate request, right, to ask, well, was water injection doing anything? I had to say that if it was, the injection was doing anything, it departed from a fixed trend, a fixed curve. I showed that all over the field, one curve was applicable. I showed that for years, all of these points followed this curve. Now then, when there was a departure of a less rate of subsidence, that was an early warning, an early signal that water injection was doing something. So the title of the paper is, was I able to give any degree of security that the slowing up of injection could be attributed to outside influence, namely injection, even though subsidence was distinctly slowing up anyway. So here he's talking nicely to the true point of the paper. Had I and could I? However, with respect to the analysis itself, it seems to me that you are open to criticism. This is nothing new. The Caltech, this is not the only Caltech person who said that it is not much of a report. You recognize by your irrelevant to the report comments on population estimates that it is highly desirable to understand the physics and mechanics of a process before trying to fit curves to observations and extrapolate them. By the way, the growth of population, flies in a bottle, was one of the big statistical, biological statistics. They put in a male and female fly, and they dropped in a very measured amount of nutrient. The flies proliferated on a bell-shaped curve until they got to the point where the flies consumed all of the nutrient, and there was no nutrient left over for another fly. And so the population was stabilized. That was the end. That was as far as it could go because there was not enough nutrient to support another fly. And if you plotted that ogive of growth, it would come slowly, fast up, and then would flatten out, which in the integrated and differentiated form was the bell shape. The integrated form was this growth curve. So I said that this particular thing I'm using, borrowed from the biological sciences, he said, you recognize by your parenthesis, irrelevant to the report, close parenthesis. Consider all the complexities of the mechanics of the Long Beach subsidence. What makes you think that your function is correct? One over all the settlement process. By overall, he means at the tail end. And here we're back to the thing. He's a brilliant IQ of something extraordinary. He says that just because my curve fitted and said 30 feet, that it could, at the very tail end, just keep on going. It didn't have to. There was no cause and effect. I had time and elevation. They call it purely empirical. Okay. I would be very surprised if you were able to analyze the problem mathematically fairly closely, the resulting settlement time function at all points on the surface was as simple as the one you have chosen. Let me give you an example. Well, I think this is just fine from the standpoint it is a beautiful deflation of the concept that my curves that I said were aesthetically beautiful, that I was amazed that Mother Nature would do something so symmetrically. He said, well, obviously something else can get. So he has some mathematics and even draws a curve and says that give very little weight to that arrestment. I said I was one. Itself, when it popped out, when it came out of all of this kind of chaos, came this beautiful symmetry and the fact that the whole bowl observed the same curve. Some of the curves were little gentle flexes. And the other were big, deep ones at the center of the bowl. But they were all mathematically the same. I thought that was completely enchanting and possibility, but I don't deny one bit that what he says is scientific. Now, Ned Babson, E.C. Babson, is considered one of the best-thinking, practical engineers in all of California. He's considered eminently practical and business-minded. He looked at these same set of curves, and he admitted everything that Scott did, but he said, look, Law, those curves are exactly what we in industry will spend millions on based upon that information. That will convince us, and we'll spend millions, and we do it all the time, on information which, if you please, is as faulty or as unconvincing or as unfully substantiated, but it would constitute a basis of action for prudent businessmen, and prudent businessmen in industry spend millions of dollars on information that probably isn't that good. But a business is often faced with they have to make a decision with the best information that they possibly have, and that could, he said, would be the basis. The Caltech being never has to respond to the compulsion, well, except a weak premise and spend millions of dollars on it. He, as professor, doesn't have to accept any kind of weak premise. If he's got a bit of weakness, it's trash. Here's Ray Keeler again. News Department of Oil Properties. Notice of public hearing concerning changing the existing water quality control policies for California coastal and interstate waters. Remote. I told you earlier when you and A House that that paper of mine on the interstitial heterogeneity, I said I made the egghead bibliographies. Mm-hmm. And here it is. This is injection fluid coverage of a multi-well reservoir with permeability stratification. In Hyatt, was Division Reservoir Engineer, Superior Oil Company, KEX. But he's a good man. And here I am, number 5 in his references, his bibliography. And that occurred in many cases. matter of determining, establishing the exterior boundaries encompassing lands comprising the subsidence area or immediately adjacent to the Wilmington Field. They had to, under the subsidence law, say what area was subject to inundation and therefore subject to mandatory unitization. So here is a hearing called by the state oil and gas supervisor of the Division of Oil and Gas, calling for a hearing and so on to determine in the Wilmington area which areas were susceptible to inundation, therefore would be made subject to mandatory unitization. I think this maybe has predicting waterfront performance from the graphical representation of porosity and permeability distribution. And I think I made a number three on the bibliography reference. So I had a brief moment of abundance of bibliographical references. There, then I'm anything now that I can offer, might offer in the future, would be less. I think there will be, oh, I know there will be a few things show up, but it would take me quite a while to get any abundance. Oh, how much time have you got? Because I'm really fond of this thing. Should we now label my illustrations?
What do you mean by label?
Oh, if I'm now making a